You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, first and foremost, I just want to say thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Florida and also, here in Atlanta. As we all know, the hurricane came through last night, Hurricane Helene, and really did some damage, especially to Florida, and moved through Georgia last night, and also, on his way to South Carolina. So, again, everybody, please stay, safe, as the storm is approaching you. But, listen, thoughts and prayers to those out there. That have had damage happen to their property, homes, vehicles, and I know we unfortunately had some lives that were lost, down here in Georgia, and I think I saw some in Florida too. So prayers up for everybody out here. But I know it's been a while, y'all, since I've been on, but. Big weekend in college football. Happy to jump back on. I know we're a few weeks into the NFL season as well, so love to talk a little bit about that, obviously, and keep rolling and talking about my expectations for this weekend on this big stage in college football. Excited to talk about it. So let's get into it, man. We got some good stuff to cover today. So let me start off with the top 10. Well, yeah, I'll go over the top 10 in the college football rankings. I know we have the top 25, but well, I'll do you one better. Let's do the top 12 since we have a 12 team playoff now. So I'm going to do that. I know I do the top 10. Let's do top 12 because we had a top the 12 team playoff. So right now, currently sitting at number one, we got Texas. Number two, Georgia. Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Alabama. Number five, Tennessee. Number six, Ole Miss. Number seven, Miami. Number eight, Oregon. Number nine, Penn State. Number 10, Utah. Number 11, Missouri. And number 12 is Michigan. So those are your top 12 teams as it stands. And as we know, good representation from the SEC up there. In the top 10, I want to say, or top 12, I want to say seven teams that are represented. So, great news for the SEC, obviously. I think that, it's clear. I mean, six teams, I should say. I think it's clear, the SEC is still dominant, man. Still the standard in college football from, a conference perspective. And I think we'll see that come playoff time. As you all know, I'm an SEC guy, so I think that they would be represented really well when it comes to playoff time. But looking at these rankings, I don't disagree with any of these. I mean, I know we've had some stuff shift throughout the weeks, and this is my first time actually being able to come on and actually talk about the college football season thus far. Nevertheless, looking at the rankings as they are right now, not surprised in any way. I think that the biggest thing, Georgia was coming in at number one and stayed number one for those first few weeks, and then where they were ultimately overtaken by Texas, especially after the way Georgia looked against Kentucky and the way Texas dominated against Michigan on the road. Obviously they look at that and saw that, hey, Texas should be in that number one spot. So there they are. You got teams like, obviously Alabama and Tennessee have been, and Ole Miss have been doing really well, all sitting up there in that top six. And then, Miami's a team coming out of the ACC, man, with Cam Ward, just seeing what he's been able to do. See how he put a whooping on Florida. Again, I know I'm an SEC guy, but him going into Florida and just doing what he did and You know, Miami in the U looks like they are back as of right now. I mean, I'm not even going to say as of right now. The U is back for this year at least. So, you know, looking at that and then, you know, looking at other teams in Florida, like, you know, Florida State, man, looking at the fall off of Florida State, how they came into this season with so much hype. They were pissed off all last year, cried, you know, Mike Norvell was having these temper tantrums about the not getting into the playoff and all of that hype, all of that just to come into the season. And now they're sitting at 0-3, which is wild to think about. But hey, you know, they should have been focusing on how to get better and instead of, you know, taking all that time to whine. So I don't know, man, it's just crazy to see, you know, with the talent that you have, you know, coming in, you take an L to Georgia Tech. You know, you suffer another L, and then Boston College knocks you off as well at home. So just not looking good for Florida State at all. But yeah, other than that, looking at these other 12 teams, man, not really sold. I've never really been too sold on Penn State. I know they're sitting at number 9. Never really been too sold on them. Oregon, you know, Oregon is always going, you know, pretty much be Oregon with their, you know, speed and shifty guys that they usually have. But, you know, again, not seeing too much of a threat in my eyes from Oregon. They don't really scare me at all. Missouri is a team to watch out for in the SEC as well. And you all know when it comes to the SEC, there's no longer a East and a West division. Now it's all one, similar to what the Big Ten does and everything. So it'll just be those top two teams at the end in the SEC championship game. So, and right now, that my pick for that would be Alabama and Texas to be in the SEC championship game. I know I didn't get a chance to do that before the season started, but I'm going ahead and tell you. You all know I had Bama in there, of course, but I got Texas in there as well. Definitely want to see that rematch that we didn't get to see last year. But it was set up so perfectly in the top four and just nearly there, but unfortunately it didn't pan out that way. But hey, we got this year and let's make it happen. I not only have, you know, Texas and Bama in the SEC championship game, also that was my national championship pick, and I would love to have that happen this year. So that's my pick as well. So early national championship pick, I had to go ahead and throw that in there. But, you know, let's move on because we have a tremendous matchup this weekend, tomorrow. Number 2 Georgia traveling to Tuscaloosa to face number 4 Alabama, my Alabama Crimson Tide. I will be in attendance for this game. So excited to be down there in Tuscaloosa. But, you know, before I get into that and my excitement about, you know, me in particular, let's look at this game, a preview of the game. 7:30 p.m., 6:30 Central Time. Well, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Central Time. Game will be kicking off. UGA is favored by 1 point, was previously favored by 2.5 in this matchup, but that line has gotten even closer now, just 1 point. Over under in this game is 50.5. Bama is also expected to host 80 high school recruits in this matchup. That is insane. And not only 80 high school recruits, 23 different NFL scouts will be in attendance for this matchup. Ticket holders, I will let you all know, everybody who's a ticket holder, you're highly encouraged to be in line for entry no later than 5 p.m. Central Time. And to help accommodate these things, they have put a statement out there. Alabama has that the gates will be open at 4 p.m. 2.5 hours prior to kickoff. So just wanted to throw that out there for everybody that may be traveling in town and even those that are already in town. You know, make sure you make plans to be in front of the stadium and be prepared for that crowd, because there's a lot of people that will be in attendance. A lot of people will be down here. You heard it. 80 recruits, 23 different NFL scouts, and one person that I do not want to mention and I will not mention will be in attendance. That is in the running for president, but I'm not going to mention his name. Y'all know who it is. He's causing all this chaos coming into town. But hey, it is what it is. You know, we deal with it. You know, we got a game to focus on. But You know, let's look at this in, a little bit closer. Look at the season leaders for each side, right? Season leaders for Georgia, season leaders for Alabama. So in passing yards, obviously you got Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe, both the starters there. Carson Beck right now, stats on the season, 56 of 82, 680 yards and 7 touchdowns. Jalen Milroe, 35 of 52 for 590 yards and 8 touchdowns. Jalen Milroe has run and thrown for 2 touchdowns. He's at least thrown for two touchdowns and ran for 2 touchdowns in each of the games that he's played. So off to a tremendous start there. Rushing leaders for both sides. You have Trevor Etienne, 24 carries, 157 yards. And then you have Jam Miller for Alabama, 29 carries, 265 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the season. And receiving leaders, Dominique Lovett for Georgia, 12 receptions, 155 yards, and a touchdown. And my guy, Ryan Williams, or what y'all like to call 17, or who y'all like to call 17-year-old Ryan Williams. I still can't get why they have to say that before his name. He's Ryan Williams regardless, but 17-year-old Ryan Williams, 10 receptions, 285 yards, 4 touchdowns, and might I add, his first 2 catches in the Alabama uniform were touchdowns over 25 plus yards. So shout out to my guy, Ryan Williams, coming in and making an impact and making a mark already in just a few games into the season. So those are your season leaders. Wanted to quickly talk about some key matchups that I think were going to be very critical in deciding the outcome of this game. And first of those key matchups, Bama's offensive line versus UGA's defensive line. We all know the SEC championship last year, how Alabama's offensive line stood and held their own and pretty much dominated Georgia's defensive line, pushing them back and had their way with that defensive line. I'm looking at that matchup in this game as well, right? Bama's offensive line being one of the best in the country, being able to keep clean pockets for Milroe, pretty consistently so far. How will they hold up against Bama's defensive line, obviously, who can get pressure on you up front? So, you know, will we have a situation where Bama can repeat their performance like they did in the SEC championship game, or will it be like a back and forth battle between the two? So that's one key matchup. Another matchup that I'm looking at is Georgia's wide receivers versus Alabama's DBs and secondary. As we all know, this is a different secondary, different DBs this time around. We did have some starters obviously return in on the defensive side, but still, you know, you got young guys out there that you know Georgia will obviously try to take advantage of. And, you know, looking at the even new guys coming in like Keon Sabbath, the safety position. You got Red Morgan that's come in, too. You got Mbakwe. You got a few guys that are new into the rotation. But guys like, guys like Jahad Campbell, Malachi Moore, being some leaders on that defense, being able to come in and Dylan Moses being able to come in and really be the leaders, be those guys that to help, you know, rally the troops and get everybody together. So that is a matchup that I am definitely looking forward to seeing. Another matchup that I am looking forward to seeing is the Jalen Milroe and his legs versus Georgia's linebackers, right? So forgive me, I said Dylan Moses, I meant Deontay Lawson, so let me correct myself. Linebacker, still crazy of me, stuck in the past. Deontay Lawson is the name that I meant to say for linebacker at, for Alabama, so apologies about that. That just goes to show you, man, missing old Alabama players out there. So again, my apologies about that. But again, third key matchup, Milroe and his legs versus Georgia's linebackers. If you rewind back to the SEC championship game, again, going to refer back to that where Georgia were not rushing their linebackers. They pretty much had two spies on Jalen Milroe. So wherever he went, they were spying him. They would crash in on him when he tried to take off and run. And really, took away that ability to really run as much as he had been throughout the year. But he did have his moments where he was able to get some pretty good runs in there. And one of them being the game sealing two back-to-back runs where he was able to seal the game. For Alabama and bring home the SEC championship game. But I would assume that they're going to try to do the same thing, have two spies on Jalen Milroe, make him have to operate in the pocket, which he has gotten a lot better at doing, stepping up, keeping his eyes downfield. And as we all know, as long as his legs are there, he's going to be a threat. So, it's going to be a good battle between him and those linebackers and the adjustments that DeBoer and those guys will make. So, and the last key matchup that I'm looking at in this game is Kalen DeBoer versus Kirby Smart. So looking at this, we all know that Kirby Smart is 1-5 against Alabama since he's left. You look at Kalen DeBoer, 12-2 versus AP ranked opponents in 5 seasons as a head coach. So has a really solid record against top tier opponents. And we all saw even last year when he was at Washington, was able to knock off Oregon not once but twice in the same season. So again, Kalen DeBoer has been here. He's been on a big stage. Obviously, we could argue, with this being the SEC, this is a different animal, but he did beat an SEC team last year in Texas. I know Texas was in a different conference, but they were an SEC team. They had committed to the SEC, so he did knock off an SEC opponent in Texas. So let's not forget about that. Give credit where credit is due there. But again, looking at the pressure, right? Who's under the most pressure? Is it Kalen DeBoer coming in as Nick Saban's successor and really an opportunity to make his statement as that next head coach of Alabama and being able to knock off an opponent like Georgia that's coming into town, right, who everybody's considered to be the premier opponent, the premier team in college football that everybody is now chasing, right? He has an opportunity to do that. Or is it Kirby Smart with the record of 1-5 coming in, has not had a success against Alabama and, one win against Alabama, that being in the national championship. And we could also argue that, with some injuries, that could have been different. But I'm not going to make any excuses. He got his W. It is what it is. But again, Kirby coming into town. This is the first time he's coming into town. I think it's been about four, maybe 5 years since Georgia's come into Alabama. Yeah, it's about 4 to 5 years last time they were in Tuscaloosa. So, yeah, that's the matchup that I'm looking at, man. And those are the key matchups I'm looking at. So, that's a preview of the game. I know y'all are waiting on my pick for this game. I'm going to give that later on in the show. I'll go ahead and let you guys know who I'm rolling with. If you already didn't know, most of you already know. If you've been listening to me long enough, But I'll give my predictions for this game, my prediction for this game at the end of the show. So let's shift gears and let's talk NFL, right? So looking at the NFL, we are heading into week 4. And again, I apologize. I've been away and have not been able to talk about any NFL also. But again, had some stuff that I had to attend, had some things going on. So looking at the NFL right now, I know it's early, but I want to talk about who's been the most surprising teams in the AFC and the NFC, right? So for me, looking at the AFC, I have to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are sitting at 3-0 right now and first in the AFC North. I mean, you look at, the Pittsburgh Steelers in particular, they brought in Russell Wilson, who was supposed to be the guy to lead the way. They bring in Justin Fields, who was supposed to come in and learn from Russell Wilson, get an opportunity to really he had an opportunity to compete. Russell Wilson was named the starter, but we all know that if the opportunity presented itself, if Russell Wilson was continuing to struggle over and over again, that you know, Mike Tomlin would have made that switch to give Justin Fields an opportunity. But they didn't even have to get to that point because Russell Wilson was dealing with some injuries in training camp, ended up giving Justin Fields the opportunity to come in to get the reps with the ones, to get comfortable in that offensive system. And now, you know, is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And coming in at 3-0, I mean, had a win against Atlanta to kick off the year, then followed that up with a road win against the Denver Broncos. So two back-to-back road wins to kick this thing off, and which is pretty good. And then you just knocked off the Chargers at home as well. So offense obviously not putting up huge numbers at all, but Justin Fields coming in and being able to beat Justin Fields, being able to move the ball and you know, looking looser, feeling more comfortable, making some really, really good throws, you know, down the field. So they are the biggest surprise, you know, for me in the AFC. I mean, even if you look at the Bengals at 0-3, right? Like, who would have predicted that? But obviously, it honestly does not surprise me because of all the issues that were going on in the offseason with T. Higgins, with Jamar Chase. So you kind of had to wonder, would that bleed over into you know, this year? And it seems like it has. It has become a distraction. Well, you know, up until this point, you know, I would say. But I mean, the Bengals, they did have an opportunity to knock off the Chiefs. I felt like you know, they bailed the Chiefs out, so they should have won that game. But you know, other than that, I mean, Washington put it on them pretty bad. First game of the year, the Patriots, you know, losing to the Patriots. Those are just a bad loss to start the year off, right? So, but again, Pittsburgh Steelers, biggest surprise for me in the AFC, and specifically the AFC North. They take on the Indianapolis Colts next, so could potentially go into this thing 4-0. So we'll see what happens there. Next, in the NFC, I would say my biggest surprise in the NFC, I really hate to admit this, and really it's because it's in my division, but I got to go with the Minnesota Vikings, man, in the NFC North. 3-0, I mean, who would have expected that? Sam Darnold coming in. I mean, yeah, J.J. McCarthy go down for the year. Sam Darnold coming in. We all know he's had, you know, he's been in the league for a while. But, you know, you had to question, you had to look at this like, okay, Sam Darnold, not really, doesn't really scare me. But again, they have the pieces around them, like a Jordan Addison, like a Justin Jefferson, got a solid run game. I mean, he has some pieces around him, right? Offensive line, solid, protecting him, giving him an opportunity to go out there and do his thing. I mean, they had a really impressive win against the Texans. On last Sunday, a blowout win, 34-7. They knocked off the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers have been plagued with an injury bug. But, again, 49ers were just in the Super Bowl. I mean, they knocked them off. And so, hey, I mean, they got the Green Bay Packers next. I don't like either one of these teams, but Vikings, go ahead and knock the Packers off. I dislike the Packers more than any team in the NFL. And I have my reasons. Obviously, if you know, you know. But, you know, nevertheless, that's beside the point. Minnesota coming in and being 3-0, I just didn't expect them to. I'm not saying I didn't expect them to win games, but just coming out firing like they have been offensively with Sam Darnold, that has surprised me. So, again, we'll watch it. Again, this is only, you know, we're only going into week four, so we got to be careful with, you know, getting too crazy with the hype. But again, you got to give credit where credit's due. And I would have said, I mean, the Saints were another team that came out. And so, I think their first 2 weeks, they combined like 90 points or something crazy like that. But, you know, the Eagles, you know, huge win on the road against them, where the Saints could have nearly been sitting at 3-0, right? And that you know, that they still came out swinging as a team. But again, AFC Steelers, NFC Minnesota Vikings, we'll continue to monitor it. We'll continue to see how it goes. But both of those teams are first in their divisions. Let's move on, man. Let's talk about Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, right? So Chicago Bears sitting at 1-2 right now. Just dropped the game last Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, which a game where we thought as Bears fans that we would have been able to win, should have won, especially against a team who has struggled against the run, and us being a team that is trying to establish the run and get our identity and find our identity, I should say. But that did not happen, right? That did not happen. Struggle, you know, the defense did their thing for the third week in a row, but offensively struggled, right? So Caleb has received a lot of negative, you know, thoughts, a lot of negative comments towards his way. And so the question here, you know, the Rams coming up next this weekend, it'll be a home game for the Bears. Can Caleb Williams and the Bears offense improve versus the Rams, right? Can they take that next step? And we'll talk about that more. So first, like I said, you know, want to touch on this because, again, a lot of people have been, I feel like, overreacting about Caleb Williams. He's only had three NFL starts, y'all, and he's improved each week. So I think everybody should just relax. Three NFL starts going into his fourth NFL start of the season. Stop overreacting. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Let's take a look at him over the first 3 weeks. Week one, 14-29, 93 yards, 48% completion, right? Didn't turn the ball over. They didn't score an offensive touchdown, obviously. But those were his stats first game of the season. Week two, 23 of 37 for 174 yards, 62% completion percentage. So 48-62% completion. Week three, 33 of 52, 363 yards passing, 63% completion percentage. As you can see, 93 yards passing, 174 yards passing, 363 yards passing. The most that a rookie quarterback in Chicago has ever done in just his third start. Now, Caleb does have to do a better job of protecting the football. I'm not going to lie about that. Four interceptions in three games, right? So he does have to do a better job of that, right? Doesn't have to try and force it, right? So some of those throws, you know, one of the interceptions he threw on last weekend, he, you know, was getting some pressure in his face and he just let the ball go, right? And this was after having a big gain and having the momentum of driving down. Got to learn to either, you know, take the sack, throw it away, right? Don't put your team in harm's way and giving the ball up, right? And so, but the other intercepts he threw was 50-50 ball. Not really too upset about that. Gave him a chance, you know, gave Roma Dunze a chance to go up there and try to get it. So that is what it is. But, you know, Caleb, don't have to force it. Take what the defense gives you, right? That definitely continue to focus on that. I mean, he has done a better job of that, but there are those throws where, you know, he reverts back to how he was like a USC and tries to, you know, force it in there, and that's just not going to work in the NFL. So, but, you know, protect the football. Other than that, seeing week-to-week improvement, which is what you want to see from a rookie quarterback, right? You want to continue to see them take the next step. He's getting more and more comfortable in the huddle. He's getting more and more comfortable out there. So, but biggest thing, he needs to be protected better. The offensive line has been absolutely terrible, and I cannot stress that enough. He will get killed back there if they do not man up. And I said man up. Y'all are all getting paid. There's no reason why y'all should not know how to block. You've been in the NFL for how many years? Block, or we need to get them off the roster and find somebody else who will block. Because as a rookie, if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm going off. Right, listen, like, I'm not gonna sit here and get my head taken off. Y'all need to block. The run game needs to be better. way better. It has not been good at all. And it doesn't help a rookie to not have a running game, right? It doesn't help him at all. I mean, DeAndre Swift hasn't been productive. Khalil Herbert has had his, you know, moments. But Roshon Johnson is our biggest and most powerful back. Get him some more touches. Get him some more touches. Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator, he has not been good. He needs to call better plays, put the team in a better position. There's no reason why we couldn't get the ball in the end zone with four attempts from inside the five-yard line. That's just unacceptable, right? It's unacceptable. We brought you in here into Chicago for a reason. Now, I don't know what you've been calling, but let that go and let's go. let's go. We don't have time for that. Whew. All right. I got it all out. It's been weeks of me holding that in, and I had to get it out. Listen, I'm calm now. I'm good. But y'all needed to hear it from me because I know y'all have been wondering. I mean, how is VJ feeling about his Chicago Bears? That's how I was feeling. But I'm optimistic. I'm good. I'm not worried. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, oh, our season's over. We're a work in progress. New offense. It's a week to week thing, right? But as long as Caleb is improving, that's all I care about. And we need to be able to put some points on the board. So we need better drives. We need long sustained drives. We can't keep putting the defense out there on the field going three and out after they just created a turnover. But you know, thank God for this Bears defense. I mean, they've been doing a great job keeping the Bears in the game. Had an opportunity again for the second week in a row to drive the ball down the field and take the lead, but unfortunately had a sack fumble that happened. You know, not Caleb Williams' fault at all. But somebody missed a block, Cole Kmet, missing a block and giving up a bad sack and turning the ball over. Nevertheless, even with all that, if you can't see the growth in Caleb Williams, there's something wrong with you and you just flat out hate. That's all I got to say about that. You just hate. let that hate go. Let that hate out your heart because Caleb is coming. Don't worry. Do not worry. All y'all, laugh now. Get all your jokes out and laugh now. But best believe, remember this conversation. Listen to me clearly. Listen to me closely. Caleb is coming. Don't worry. And it's going to help Keenan Allen. He's been injured with his ankle and stuff like that. Or his heel, his ankle. He'll be back. You know, expected to be back. He's been limited at practice, but expected to be back for the game. And I think that's going to help out too. But, you know, Caleb Williams, seeing him get his, and then shout out to Caleb getting his first career touchdown pass, his first and his second, actually. His first career touchdown pass goes to his guy, Rome Odunze. That was great to see. Really cool because I know he said he wanted Rome to be his first touchdown pass. And that happened, so that was cool. And he threw another touchdown to Cole Kmet. So sometimes you just got to see it, you know, see it happen, and you know that gives you that confidence that builds it up. So Bears will get it going versus the Rams. I'm gonna say it now: the Rams team who has struggled against the run, this is a good opportunity to get that run game going. And we saw last week they their secondary struggled. They gave up. I know they won the game against the 49ers, which I'm still shocked that they did. 49ers completely fell asleep, forgot how to play football. But giving up big games to Juwan Jennings, a big game to Juwan Jennings, I should say, three touchdowns on the day, man. He was lighting them up. So I think there's room to attack that secondary and get the ball rolling. So yeah, I'm sticking to it. My Bears, they're gonna be just fine. So. Let's go get this win. Let's make it happen. Shift the gears here. Let's talk NBA. Because we just had somebody make a big announcement, that being Derrick Rose. My guy Derrick Rose, man, retiring from the NBA after 16 seasons. It's wild, man. I think, you know, anybody who's a fan, who's a Bulls fan, or even just a fan of the game in general, you look at Derrick Rose and his career, you could do nothing but, you know, smile, be appreciative of what he gave to the game, what we were able to witness when he came into the league. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you know, was in Memphis, had a huge national championship game matchup against Kansas. Unfortunately, they did not win that. But, you know, coming into the league, just taking a look at his career, right? MVP 2011 was the youngest MVP and still the youngest MVP in NBA history at just 22 years old. He was the number one overall pick. Rookie of the Year in 2009, three-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA First Team in 2011, again, a 16-year NBA career. And in his first 4 years in the NBA, he averaged 21 points per game. One of the most exciting and electrifying finishers at the rim that I've ever seen. So, you know, again, just what Derrick Rose gave to the game, man. I just remember, you know, I'm a diehard Bulls fan, and just when he came in, you know, just the excitement that I had and we all had when the Bulls got the number one pick and take it Derrick Rose, you know, Chicago hometown kid, you know, that was something special. And, you know, I just, you know, look at even, you know, his rookie year and his first playoff game against the Celtics on the road. I think he had like 42 points, 42 or 44 points, something crazy. Right. Just being able to just watch him do the things he did and contort his body and just be able to finish at the rim the way that he did. Right. A lot of people look up to that. And unfortunately, you know, the injury, the ACL injury, stopped a NBA Finals run. I mean, I'm still sticking to that. That was going to be our year. We were getting to the NBA Finals and we were going to win that thing, man. I wholeheartedly believe that. But, you know, that's okay. That wasn't in God's plan. But the career, what a great career for Derrick Rose. Shout out to you, Derrick, man. Thank you for everything you gave to the game. And now it's time for you to sit back and, you know, be able to look back and know that you gave it everything you had. And, hey, you know, do your thing, man. Maybe there's room for him to coach one of these days, or, you know, be on a coaching staff or whatever, if he continues to want to be involved in the NBA. So, man, Derrick, congratulations on a great career, man. And yeah, man, forever going to be a fan. And yeah, shout out to Derrick Rose. All right. So let's wind down, shift gears to the moment we've all been waiting for. Like I said, let's talk about the showdown that's happening in T-Town on tomorrow. I told y'all before, I'm going to be in attendance. I'm waking up. I'm heading out of town at about 6 a.m. so I can get down there to Tuscaloosa by 8. And look, I'm locked in. We got game day that'll be down there, the whole game day crew. Miss Terry, the guest picker for College Game Day. So excited to see that. So I got to get down there to get to Denny Chimes and be able to just be around that atmosphere. Looking at this, man, UGA, Bama, who wins, right? So look, if you didn't know, maybe you didn't know because you might be a first-time listener, so I completely understand. But for everybody out there who has been following me, who has been listening, been supporting, first and foremost, I love you and I appreciate the support. Y'all know who I'm rolling with, man. It's Alabama, man. Roll Tide all day. I got Alabama winning this game. The difference to me, I think Alabama's solid. You know, it's a number of things. Alabama's offensive line, solid, just being able to protect Milroe. I think they have you're going to have a really good day. You know, you got Booker, you got Proctor out there. You got guys out there doing their thing and holding their own, right? So I think that Alabama's offensive line will hold up really, really well. I think, you know, Bama having that solid 1-2 punch at running back, with Jam Miller and Justice Haynes, talent at the wide receiver position all over the field. You got Ryan Williams, you got Jeremy Bernard, you got Kobe Prentice, you got guys like that, right? That I feel like will be able to challenge Georgia, who has not really been challenged at all when it comes to, you know, the deep ball. And Milroe being a guy who can throw the deep ball, I'm excited to be able to see that. Milroe's legs and his arm will be the difference. So a lot of, you know, last year everybody would always say, oh, you know, Milroe's legs are the thing that can beat you. Milroe's legs. No, Milroe's arm can do it too. And I think that he will prove that. He can be effective in both with his arm and his legs in this game, and I think he will. You look at Alabama, who leads college football in explosive touchdown plays of 25 or more yards on the season, leaders in college football in that category. So they're definitely going to take their shots, and I think there will be some opportunity out there to do that. And then, you know, looking at Georgia, they're only allowing their opponents 6 points per game. They have yet to give up a touchdown. I think Alabama is allowing 8 points per game. But again, Georgia allowing their opponents 6 points per game, have not allowed or given up a touchdown at all at this point in the year. But that's going to change tomorrow night, y'all. That's going to change. Bama by 14. Let me tell you something. If Georgia rolls that team into Tuscaloosa that they rolled into Kentucky, into Lexington, you know, Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, no. They're going to be in big trouble. I don't think that'll be obviously the same team that they bring, you know, in there. They had, a week to rest and adjust and so on and so forth. But again, Georgia has not looked dominant. They're not this dominant team like everybody out there who's claiming them to be, right? They're not that dominant. I mean, they're not I'm going to say that dominant. They're not dominant to me. They've looked up until this point pretty average. Let's state the facts. We're not going to make excuses. They've looked average. They have. So I think Alabama, Brian Denny, Saban Field at Brian Denny Stadium, let me get it correct, is going to be rocking. I cannot wait to be in attendance. I'll have my phone out recording videos, taking pictures, all of that, man, because I haven't been to a game in Brian Denny since a little after I graduated. So it's been a good while. I've always gone down, to tailgate and stuff and watch the game. But actually being in there, I'm excited, especially for a matchup like this, man. And if you whoever out there says that this game doesn't matter and whoever, you know, there's still 12 teams, this game matters. If you're an SEC fan, this game matters. If you're a fan of either one of these teams, this game matters. For bragging rights. Of course, you have a whole season to go, but this is about more than just the college football playoff. This is about bragging rights. And obviously about the college football playoff, because if you can add, if Alabama adds a number two Georgia on their resume, that's big. That's big. So, hey, you heard it here from me. Bama by 14. The tide will roll. And I can't wait to come back next week, man, and talk to y'all about it. But hey, I appreciate everybody tuning in. That's all I had. Thank you for rocking with me, being patient with me, showing love to me. I appreciate y'all. Look, again, I promise y'all, I know I said this before, I'm going to be back with another show next week. I'll be back to talk about this and run down all things NFL, all things college football and more. Look, y'all be blessed. Y'all stay safe. Y'all have a great weekend. And look, I'll see y'all next week. So peace, be blessed. And as always, Roll Tide. I'm out.